Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Dixville. Dixville. The strippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll trigger tilts with a shot of the day. Ryan Castle is in Drunk in Charge. We'll be in to Sit and Spin along with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20. Today we'll get 10 songs from Rob Thomas that Rob Thomas will never get tired of. So he's bringing in the list, and we will hear from that. Coming up right after emails on our question, what bit who and where did it bite them?
Someone points out Judas Priest Love Bites was long before Def Leppard. Well played. Thank you. Ted's not going to know that. Mm-hmm. Ted's not going to know that, but you're right.
Right. I only knew the song because of the wedding singer.
And to be fair, Love Bites from Def Leppard is still at 25 years old, almost 30 years old.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, man. Let's see. Comment here. It says, many years ago, I was running from the cops, and they let the dogs loose on me. The dog bit my left butt cheek and ripped me off the fence. Won't be doing that again. That from Eli the Booze Hound.
Ooh, that had to hurt.
Man, when I lived in Baltimore, I had a Belgian Shepherd, all right? And a Belgian Shepherd looks very much like a German Shepherd. Everyone just assumes it's a German Shepherd. To the point you got tired of explaining it. So you're just like, sure. His brother rolls up to me, man. He's about 60 years old. He's like, my man, that is a Belgian Shepherd. And this is the first dude I have heard, like, correctly identified by looking. I'm like, yeah, man, it's a Belgian Shepherd. How'd you know? And the riots of 1976. This is the story he tells me. And the riots of 1976,
down,
all right? And civil rights. We're burning trash cans. We're doing all the stuff we're doing. The cops show up, so we all scatter. I hid in a dumpster behind Lexington Market, and I'll never forget the sound. This dog jumped on top of the dumpster, and I could hear his nails clicking above me. He's like, God damn, if that dog didn't open the hatch with his mouth and look down at me. And I said, I give up. And he swore to me. He said, and once I found out that's a Belgian Shepherd, I never forgot what a Belgian Shepherd looks like. I'm like, good to meet you.
Damn.
Yeah, that was his story. He's like, the only guy that could look at my dog, figure it out, and that was his damn story.
It's memorable.
As you say, like, I dated a girl that had a little Papillon.
Papillon.
It's a tiny little dog.
It's a long ears.
It's got super long hair.
Okay,
it's like 6 pounds, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't know what they look like a lot of other small dogs.
Sure.
So, not, oh yeah, there you go. So not
oh,
nearly.
Looks like a little gremlin.
Not nearly as intense a story, but same thing. There was like a homeless dude and I walked by and he's like, he was smoking something. He's like, ha ha, Papillon, made for French French kings.
Made for what?
And he's right.
No, he's right.
They bred for like French kings in like the 1600s or something.
Let me give you the history. And he's the guy that knows.
Right. Right. I'm just like, why do you know that? So not as intense as your dude, but still,
it's still just
knowledgeable.
Unexpected information from sources you wouldn't think.
What's a woodman who and where did it bite them? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Kozak. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I got two stories for you to choose from.
All right.
You can choose between the time I got bit in the nose by a booger or the time I was paralyzed by spider bites.
Wait, you said you were bitten in the nose by a booger?
Yeah, a dog named Booger.
Oh, okay.
What's the better story?
All right, well, my friend had a dog named Booger. He's a Rottweiler, and I was petting, been playing it with it all day. It was about 10 years old. And I didn't know it just got an injury on its side, and I started petting it, and it just reached around and bit a hole through my nose and my face.
Jeez.
That's intense.
First time I got a nose piercing. Pretty nice.
So did it go all the way through?
Yeah, all the way through my nose and all the way through, and the bottom one went through my lip, so I had a hole through my nose and a hole through my lip.
Damn. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
What about the spider that paralyzed you?
I went on vacation, came back home, didn't check my bed, and I woke up. I had over 200 spider bites on my body.
Jesus.
And I was paralyzed for 3 days.
Wait, why were there 200 spider bites on your body?
I came home, and I guess there was a nest of spiders that moved into my bed while I was gone. I didn't check my bed.
Jesus.
See, normally, I mean, it's not like I never think to myself, boy, I should check my bed tonight.
Yeah, it never crosses my mind.
Oh, I didn't check my bed, so you know what's going to happen then. 200 spider bites into paralysis. You know what I mean? Like, I never would think to look like that.
I will tonight. How long were you paralyzed?
3 days, but I faked it for about a week and a half.
For what benefit? Work or for sympathy?
Oh, I was like, I was in grade school, and I had this hot girl pushing me around in a wheelchair.
I get it.
Yeah, all right.
I can't move.
Nice work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do my homework. Oh, damn, my right eye is pilot. I can't use it. I can't write.
Maybe he'll be Peter Parker.
What bit who and where did it bite them? 844-999-OLD.
I don't know that I check my bed every time, but I check my toilet bowl for snakes every time I poop.
I know you do, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I know the story. I know.
But have I ever been bit by a snake on the butt while pooping?
Nope. No, and granted, people that drew pentagons on their doors never got attacked by a vampire. So the empirical evidence certainly supports your theory. I stand corrected. By the way, Ted, according to people here, it was Love Stinks in The Wedding Singer.
Damn it!
It's all right, you still got it.
You mean Love Stinks from Jay Giles? Love Stinks, yeah, yeah.
Yes!
Okay. That's the one.
Look, I thought it was Love Bites. I Googled it. It's a Def Leppard sings it. That's why I made the joke.
All right.
Well, it was Love Stinks.
It still worked,
in the movie.
It just was the wrong movie.
Right.
And banned.
Yeah, you're close. What bit who and where did it bite them? 844-999-OLA.
And now I'm being told by my Belgian Shepherd was not a Belgian Shepherd. It is, in fact, a Belgian Malinois.
A Belgian Malinois.
I don't know. A Belgian Malinois. Several people have said, I'm like, all right, let's see, Malinois. It's Malenois. Malinois.
This will annoy you. It's Malinois.
Jesus.
Malinois.
That does annoy me. Malinois.
I asked a policeman once because I wanted to be doubly sure. I was like, he's going to know. He trains it.
Which one did it look like?
Go to the left where it says versus, versus.
Yeah, that one?
That one.
Which one? This one or this one?
That one.
Oh, it looks just like a German Shepherd. I would never even know the difference.
But my brother, I know what they look like. I know the difference. The riots of 1970. So, all right, so I had a Malinois. Malinois.
Well, how hoity-toity.
Oh, Malinois.
I had a Belgian Malinois back in the day.
I didn't realize I was so fancy.
I was living the high life in Baltimore City.
Yeah, that's the dog that ate the turd out of a baby diaper.
Crumpets and
ate a baby crumpet.
Yeah.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So back when I was in high school, we had a 16-foot Burmese python. And one of the days that I was in the class, we decided that we were going to feed said Burmese python. And side note, Burmese python's name was Monty. So I go to reach into
Monty Python.
I go to reach in to grab the log that is in the cage, and I wasn't thinking that 20 minutes before I was in the back handling all the rats. And when I reached in, the snake smelled rat, felt heat, and bit my hand and wrapped his body up around my arm.
How quickly did it do this?
0.68.
And did it start to squeeze and retract immediately on you?
It was immediately. It was as soon as he latched on, he starts, you know, it's wrapped up and started squeezing. And then while he was latched on, I could feel his tongue kind of hit my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And they just slowly started letting go because you kind of got I kind of got the impression that he was like, wait a minute, this doesn't taste like a rat.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
The python tongue kiss.
So how long then does it take?
It's like what Pete Davidson was doing courtside the other day. Python tongue kiss.
How long does it take a python to let go of you then after that?
It took about 30 seconds for him to kind of unravel, and that was with me helping y'all unravel him.
Okay. Yeah, that would freak me the hell out.
How much food, when you guys fed the 16-foot python, how much food did you give it at any one time? What is it eating? I mean, I know you say
a
rat.
We would give him generally 2 to 3 pound rats or one big, you know, good-sized rabbit.
Feeding once every 7 to 10 days, about right?
No, we were feeding once a month.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. All right.
Damn.
That's a bigger window than not.
Miles, you showed me a picture maybe a year ago. I don't remember. But it was somewhere like India or somewhere like this. And a farmer, or no, a woman had disappeared from the village.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was they suspected that one of these massive snakes had eaten her. All right. So they're going around killing snakes, trying to figure it out. And the way they wrote the article, they're like, they think this might be the snake. And they showed a picture of the snake, and it's a regular snake. And then, you know, when snakes swallow something, the shape of that thing is mm-hmm. lodged in her gut. There's the perfect outline of a human being.
Yeah, this is an 18-foot snake, so about 7 feet down, you see outline. Like a person in there, and they cut the damn thing open.
And sure enough.
There she is all curled up in there. You're like, oh, god damn, okay.
Yeah, they were like, we think this is the snake. And I'm looking at the picture going, oh, no, that's the snake.
That's the one.
I have no doubt
she's
about
that. She's still wearing her clothes.
That is awful.
Oh, it was great. They cut her open, man. She's still just fully dressed. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me, I don't want to go to India. Hello, drama. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, first off, Hey, so yesterday, I just want to say you guys had Yo on the phone.
Yeah.
I know Yo. She is a firecracker. She's pretty cute.
Okay, well, cool.
I know Yo. No, she was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. So, years back, I was a bouncer down in a club down in a Pioneer Square there in Seattle.
Bum 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 bum.
Yep. Working the door, checking IDs, and this guy comes up with his friends. He wanted to get in. He didn't have. I don't think it was a good idea. Whatever the case was, got mad because I wouldn't let him in. Proceeded to throw a bottle at me, so I grabbed him, and he grabbed me, and I was like, oh, okay, we're going to tuss, and he pulled me in like he was going to kiss me and bit my cheek, put a hole in it.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Damn.
What is up with this move that we're hearing all about today? I mean, like, you know, like, I figure we'd be all more on the animal tip than, like Steve said in the hallway, look, if I'm going to bite somebody, it's life or death.
Right.
This is coming down to the point where if I don't bite someone, then I might die. So whether that's an animal, a person, whatever the deal is, like, that is the last resort. That is not the first offensive move. I mean, when did it become that just like, yeah, bite him?
I know mouth kung fu.
I mean, come on. Like, we all have teeth.
I think these people are just in fights they can't win.
Maybe. I guess.
I don't know, man.
Fighting then. You think.
Still to come, Ryan Castle, Drunk in Charge, being a sin spin, along with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 today. 10 songs of Rob Thomas we'll never get tired of. Mm-hmm. We'll bring Rob and Ryan in right after emails on our question, what bit who and where did it bite them? Those emails on the way next from the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
You're going to want to hang out here momentarily. Ryan Castle bringing in Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 today. Sit and spin 10 songs. Rob Thomas will never get tired of. First time for a few emails from the men's room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got mail.
Guys, today's my son Joe's 11th birthday. What to do? Give him a shout out. Say happy birthday from mom and dad. Having a barbershop fish sandwich, please.
Can I get a fish sandwich? Oh, you know I gotta eat right. Oh, brother, can I have a fish sandwich? You put the cheese and the tartar on the side.
Shout out, guys, to my guy Craig on his big day. Could you give him the dirty Germans talking about being the news delivery guy? That from his Vagabond Princess Bonhilda.
Yeah, if by news you mean penis, I am one as well.
Yes, you roll up that newspaper, it looks just like a penis.
Guys,
come with rubber bands.
Me and my girlfriend Morgan love the show. She's 21 today. Can I get you guys talking all over one another about how great she is? Thanks, guys, from her awesome boyfriend, JD. She is fantastic.
She is fantastic, man.
We just say we're in the hits again right now.
Man,
probably that you're
going to be honest, tonight. We all want to hang out. She's awesome. Can't wait to see her again.
Guys and ladies, my name is Yetta. I'm 29. Can I get some dirty Germans talking about going into my 30s? Thanks so much. Love the show. Shout out to the best wife a girl can have. That would be the lovely Shelby Lindsay, Kinsey.
Yeah, I can only hope by 30s you mean code for your vagina.
Yes, and hopefully this won't be the last year for that. But that's for 30. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Gentlemen, the lady, I've been listening to your show since New Year's, catching a flight from Rochester, New York, back to Charlotte, North Carolina. As I'm new to the show, today I'm 31, I'm telling everyone about my newfound show. Okay. So how about give me a big old Leroy Jenkins? That's from a bar manager living in a state where people drive in the rain with their hazards on, named Homer.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Gentlemen, woman, please wish my wonderful wife, Tiffany, a happy 42nd birthday with the dirty Germans talking about her driving her Camaro named Cass.
Yeah, I'm going to drive my own personal Camaro, my skin Camaro. Drive cars right into that ass.
Yes, I like these Camaros because it's like the summertime. Takes the tops off.
Guys, pretty please wish my husband Patrick a happy birthday. 51 years old today. Love your show. That from Alina. Happy birthday, Patrick. Guys, it's my girlfriend's 57th trip around the sun. If you could give Teresa Louise Nagel a barbershop fish sandwich, we would love that. Thank you, guys. Friday is our 22nd anniversary. That from Billy.
Is it too early for a fish sandwich? Cheese and tartar on the side.
Oh, yeah.
I smell the fish sandwich. Maybe some dill relish in the morning. At noon. And at night.
I finally see you, Phil, here from Chicago. Spent 4 months working in Seattle at the Moore Theater. Got hooked on the show. Love it. Can I get a birthday shout out to the great crew I had the pleasure of working with? My 60th birthday is today. Having a big old bong rip. Thanks, guys. You all rock. That's from Senor Phil.
Senor.
We gotta do the birthday song. Here we go. Ready, guys?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Yaws of Dirty Germans, brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Schweinefleisch.
All right, coming up, we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day, but first...
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is, Ryan Charles, Ryan Castle.
Man, it's a hot one today.
Is it a hot one?
No. I brought a friend with me. It's my friend Rob Thomas.
Oh, get out of here.
What's going on, guys?
How are you doing, sir?
You act like you didn't know I was just here talking about having sex with your wife.
No, I did not. I had no idea. Well, I thought we were going to have sex together. I thought we established that. Okay. Anyway, Rob Thomas, welcome to the program.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. And Ryan, thank you for making this all possible. I know you worked very hard.
Sure. Well, any chance I get to call you guys out for being jerks, I'm going to jump
We're
right
not jerks. We are not jerks. It's this, man. Let's just get to it, all right? So
you guys just have specific personalities?
Yes.
They're particular.
That is what we tell many people. And Supernatural came out, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And so this gets brought up. And so the song Smooth gets brought up. And a couple of weeks ago, we did like the...
We were doing the Hot 100 biggest hits of all time.
Right. And no offense, Smooth pops on. Miles and I had a very adverse
reaction. Well, here's the thing. I worked in rock
radio. Don't sugarcoat it.
Steve worked in soft AC. And at the time, you know, we're on the radio. And Smooth is a great song. There's no problem with the song. We love the song.
No, there's a problem with the song.
But then another year goes by. And then another year goes by.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, we had to play the song every hour.
Oh, you did.
Half.
Oh,
yeah.
You did.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Yes. Yeah. So, Rob, I think for that 20 years, it felt like I did.
I bet we played that song more times than you.
See, Rob, the argument I made was, it's not your fault. You just wrote a great song. It's our fault because we played it every goddamn hour on the radio.
In a sense, you might owe us money.
Here's a quote from Rob Thomas from USA Today. I've got a weird love-hate relationship with Smooth at this point. I love it, and at the same time, I'm fine if I never hear it again. I have a different relationship with it than most people because I love to play it, and that's always fun. I remember when we did it, it was me and Carlos. We wrote it, and we would really see hot Latin girls in New York dancing to it and sweating. Then, like 5 years later, I see Terry Garr on a commercial for a light FM with Smooth playing behind it. And I call up Carlos, and I'm like, dude, what the F happened to that song? Rob Thomas.
That's exactly every word true.
But I would assume that
Carlos having that conversation.
You skip down to the mailbox every month and pick up the Smooth check, right?
No, I hire somebody to do that for me. But
he has the money now.
Right.
Smooth money.
No,
Send the mail person.
What's funny, though, is like, I mean, it really, when we did that song, I was coming off of the first Matchbox record. We had sold like 15 million records, and I thought that we were a big deal and I had reached, you know. But then you get into a universe around somebody like Carlos, this legend, and the power of something like that, that just kind of goes cultural. Like, if I'm anywhere in the world and somebody just comes up and goes, oh, I love that song, I know that they're not talking about 3 a.m. I know they're not talking about Real World, you know, or Push. I know where they're going with that. And I think it's a blessing and a curse, but I could never in a million years wish it didn't happen. Like it was a huge point.
I wish I was on the damn song. Well, I don't even like it anymore.
And
but you say that, but think about the difference, man, because on that album, you weren't the only collaborator. So
yeah, no, there's so many great. I mean, Lauryn Hill was on that. Eric Clapton.
Right, all these Nappy, people, but that song, of all of the songs on this album, and you're like that song over all of them blew the F up. And like Miles pointed out, man, I'm doing light AC at the time. So you're sharing time with Cher, Phil Collins and his ever-expanding forehead, and all this kind of stuff. He's playing at a rock station. You're sharing time with AC/DC. It's just unbelievable and really annoying.
Rob, you probably know this.
The song was everywhere.
You probably know this statistic.
They played it on urban stations, and I called it smooth.
It's
smooth.
It's the number two song in the history of the Hot 100 behind The Twist. Okay,
Hold on. Hold on, though. I want to say something about that, because that comes up, and that's a really impressive-sounding stat, right?
But I don't mind saying so myself.
No one said it was the second best song, right?
No, but it's
when I look on there and it's like four hits above Hey Jude, I'm like, no, something's going on here, man. That's cool, though.
Okay, like anything else, when you're doing a collaboration, how many times have you two actually played that song together live after you recorded it? So how many times have you been able to even get close to each other?
Well, besides the Grammys, and then in the show we did with everybody in California, and then I've probably jumped up like four or five times at his shows, and he's come out to see me and my band and jumped up like maybe four or five times. But together, not a whole lot. Like he plays it every night in his shows, and I play it every night in my solo shows.
It's almost like he's floating on a cloud of Zen when you talk to him. Like, oh, it's beautiful.
We shot that video in Spanish Harlem. It was like 2 days. 90-something degrees, right? And he's standing there in a full suit, drinking a glass of scotch. And he doesn't break a sweat the entire day.
I like him more and more all the time.
That whole video was literally, like, they weren't even playing smooth in a lot of those shots. Like, they were doing Oyo Como Va, and they were doing, Black Magic Woman, and just doing, like, these great Latin jams, and all those people you see, those are just really people that were coming out in Spanish Harlem.
Right.
Just like, holy
it's
Carlos.
And he has a potty mouth.
So today... go ahead.
Yeah, Rob. So today we came up with 10 songs for Sit and Spin that Rob Thomas will never get tired of listening to.
Do we trust the source?
I think so.
Number 10.
Absolutely not.
All right.
It's a strong list, too. I got to tell you, my favorite memory of this song is the gentleman to your right, Ted Smith, interpretive dancing this song in a limousine after a concert one night he was filming. Get it.
I think in more ways than one, Elton John can turn us all into a little girl.
Yeah. Didn't you say something like you mimicked his style growing up between Elton John and, I don't know, Tracy Chapman?
Yeah,
you
ended
up sounding like Mickey Mouse.
Those voices were like, I think, some of the ones that I tried to model myself after when I was trying to figure out what my personal, sound was going to be.
These are 10 songs that Rob Thomas will never be tired of.
Number nine. I would be a
George, man. George was our friend. Like, we had the same manager. My wife and I actually spent an entire summer, like 3 or 4 weeks over a summer around Europe. And, like, we would go and hang out with him in London and see the show. And then we would go to Rome, and he'd get there a couple days later, and we'd hang out with him in Rome. And, like, we made our vacation just kind of, like,
wow,
with a George Michael show kind of peppered in there.
So you're basically following around. So you're basically ignored.
And again, that whole thing, you walk out with George Michael into Rome, and literally the streets are shut down just to get him from his hotel. And this is still, this was just like right before he passed away. Like, to get from his hotel, you move from the sea.
Royalty. Mm-hmm.
Is it better to hang out with someone who, like, takes the attention off of you? You know what I mean? Like,
that's easy to do, man. Like, I have a very specific level of fame. Like, if you know my music is way more famous than I am.
Okay.
So, like, if you know the music, and, like, I'm the kind of famous that you walk up in the grocery store and you're like, oh, man, I love the Goo Goo Dolls. And you're like, all right.
Oh, boy. That song you did about San Francisco.
And then you tell them, no, you don't.
No, that's not me.
Number eight. Killed the song and its ministers. Anastasia.
I told you it's a strong list.
What is your I know you got a Mick Jagger connection. I know you wrote a song for him.
Yeah, we wrote one song that wound up on his Goddess in the Doorway solo record that he did, and then one song, the song Disease from Matchbox 20. We wrote those two together. And he's a gentleman and a half. We were in Scotland one time, and they were doing like a show in a really tiny club with Stones. And we had a tour manager reach out, call their tour manager, and they invited us to come out, and it was like me and my wife and a couple friends, and we'd get there, and he was holding the show until we got there because we were running a little late, and so he waited until we got there, and then he brought us back to his dressing room, had some tea, just made, and he's like, oh, it's fine, they're not going to go anywhere.
That's it, just tea. Yeah.
The Stones are waiting for us.
Oh my God. You have a terrible life.
I know, right?
Like, you are the opposite of the SPCA commercial.
Right now, this interview is like checking out my Instagram, right? Like, I'm just giving you the highlights.
Yeah, right. You're going to follow now, though. Yeah,
you don't get to see where I'm dead inside.
These are 10 songs that Rob Thomas will never get sick of.
This is a great tune.
Man, come on. That whole record, I love that whole Tunnel of Love, Bruce Springsteen period.
The Bolero years.
Yeah, so
the Bolero tie years.
Right? You know, as I'm looking over your list, Rob, I assume that you probably graduated from high school like 89, 90? Because a lot of this falls like 85, 86, 87. Right. And people really fall in love with music when they're like in high school.
When you're sitting in the car, you know, with your mom on long road trips, listening to whatever, you know, whatever's on the radio.
Your mom was nice. I just heard goddamn Lou Rawls, man.
Right. These are 10 songs Rob Thomas will never get tired of.
Number six. And remember, this album is what gave us the Parents Music Research or Resource Center, too. Or, sorry, this album. Because Darling Nikki was on this album.
Oh, right.
And that's what set Tipper Gore
off
and got us labeling on all of our CDs.
She finally sat down with her daughter, which CDs
to buy.
And she couldn't believe that Nikki was masturbating with the magazine. Honestly, God, Tipper Gore lost her ass.
But you know, she always had that kind of like, let me talk to the manager look about her.
Yeah. She does, man. She looks like the substitute teacher who you know is going to suck.
Okay, Karen.
Rob, a few years ago.
The original Bob.
No, Karen.
A few years ago, Ted and I spent $250 a ticket to see Prince in a club. And we thought at the time we bought that ticket, we were like, God, that's a lot of money, you know?
But it was...
And he played this to close the show, you know?
I saw him at the Garden, and it was like church and school at the same time, man. And then... I was supposed to go see him at that residency at the Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Now, this is a messed up story. I was supposed to, and that's like literally the room this size, and it's only invite. And I was going, but I spent all day at a barbecue at Paul's house, Paul from Matchbox 20, drinking with Hanson. So.
I want to point out
that Hanson, these guys are lovely. They're great guys. So this is not about that.
Sure.
But it's, I'm not, they're not Prince. And I, and so hanging out all day, and I got so drunk that by the time I got to the show, I got violently sick right before Prince comes on stage and had to run out and go back to my hotel room and just be sick.
How many people in this room have drinking too much to make it to a show?
Damn you, Hanson. Damn you.
What does one drink when they get hammered with Hanson?
You can take the pregame. You can take the pregame a little too far.
For sure.
Yeah.
What do you drink when you're drinking with Hanson?
Rosé.
Of course.
All day.
Not brose.
Yeah. These are 10 songs of Rob Thomas.
You just made it sound so much more manly.
We'll never be tired.
Show some brose in a cup.
Yeah, that's right. Number five. Break down. Go ahead. Give it to me.
It's another one of those moments pisses me off. It comes to town and it's, man, we should get tickets for Petty,
Dude, I did the same thing.
And then for whatever stupid reason, and I don't even remember the reason, so it's not justified. Like, you know what? We'll just see him next time he comes around.
Yeah.
And you can fill in the blank, and then he passes before he gets
Just weeks later. I was stuck in traffic, and I missed the beginning of the show.
Like, I don't think you should take that personal.
I do.
I don't think it was because of you.
No, I think it's a D move, man. And I cannot believe he did that. I'm like, really, Tom? But since then, if a band comes around I want to see, it does not matter. Absolutely.
Yeah,
not
a question. For sure. I've been to like a couple Tom Petty shows. I've been like at the Hall of Fame, and he's been sitting right next to me. And every time my wife's just like, just go back and say hi. And I'm like, no. I'm just too much of a fan. Like, I don't want to geek out.
You wrote songs with Mick Jagger. I feel like at that point, you were invited to a Prince show. Granted, you got drunk with Hanson. But when Prince invites you or Mick Jagger writes songs, I feel like you can walk up to any damn body you want and say, hi, I'm not the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls.
You would think you feel that way, but no, you don't.
I'm the guy from Train.
I'm Pat John Merritt, John Goo Goo Resnick Thomas.
These are 10 songs that Rob Thomas will never get tired of.
Number four.
Now this was originally written for Tom Petty by Mike Campbell, the guitar player for the Heartbreakers.
Okay.
He started writing it, and Tom didn't like it. And he brought it over to Don Henley, and Don Henley wound up doing it.
Yeah, he did pretty well with that.
And then Tom Petty had no hits after that.
Ten songs that Rob Thomas will never get tired of. Sit and Spin.
Number three.
Oh, yeah.
I've been really trying, baby.
It's so hard to listen to this song and not just have sex. Like, I'm about to throw Miles down and rip off his pants.
There's a theme to this comedy. We've only been together for a short period of time, and there's a common thread where there's a lot of what's going on here. I think somebody's getting it. Somebody's going to get it.
Gosh, I hope it's not me.
Great tune.
We're all fired up here at the studio.
Number two.
Hey, Jude.
There it is.
Don't make it bad. Take a sad song.
This song is almost as good as Smooth in the Billboard Top 100.
We couldn't tell. Like, I was between this and Something. I was going back and forth between.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, that's a hard thing. Like, you literally could just put a blank thing and say, insert Beatles song from, like, Sgt. Pepper's on, you know.
Have you been five feet within a Beetle?
Yeah, I've been seeing Paul.
Paul McCartney gave me a piggyback ride.
Exactly. We shared an ice cream cone together.
Paul was backstage at one of the George Michael concerts that we were at, and he came over and, like, just started picking up my wife, like, just speaking perfect Spanish, and I'm just like, no, you don't get to be a Beetle.
She's like, you're in my top five, I'm out.
But, you know, but it is great. Like there's been him and with Ringo, there's a sense of energy that you're like, there's a Beetle in the room, Like,
sure.
We were in an arena sitting at the soundboard, and literally with no fanfare, he just starts walking in, you know, to go find his seat for the show, and a ripple starts from next to him out, and within 1 minute, the entire place is on their feet like a standing ovation, and he was just trying to sneak in. Like, Jesus. That's unbelievable.
Well, I don't even get that from my kids.
No. Ringo starts.
I mean, I come home, they're like, hey.
Ringo's security guy kept me out of an elevator one time. I tried to get on his elevator, and security guy stopped me, and Ringo poked his head around the corner and goes, hey, fellas, wait for the next one, thanks.
Like, sure thing, Ringo.
He talked to me.
That's Ringo Starr.
He told me to get out.
These are 10 songs that Rob Thomas will never get tired of, and we made it to number one.
Number one.
Hey, full disclosure, I was making this list in the car last night, and I was told I had to put that damn song on there.
Yes, you did.
You notice it beats Hey Jude for a second time.
Right.
Yeah.
Every time.
I mean, really, screw that song.
Yeah, Hey Jude's got nothing.
Dude, it's had plenty of legs. It's fine.
And now, Rob, we, in honor of Matchbox 20, we have written you a note, right? Since we have pooped on Smooth because of the sheer number of times, like Castle said, our own fault. For playing your crap, we enabled you.
That's true. That is true.
So this is a letter we have penned for you in our 24 different Matchbox 20 song titles in this note to you. So it says, listen, we don't know how you feel, but we don't want to push you away. When you consider how far we've come, we realize that if you're gone, we will be unwell. Like we have a disease. But this is the real world, Rob, so if you're going to leave, well, damn, that's heavy. Don't be angry. We truly like you. You're so real, and it'd be a shame. If you leave. So sad, so true. Anyway, we don't want to argue and get y'all bent. We just, you know, we're black and white people, and we've had a long day, so we're sorry, Rob. And that comes from our soul. And actually, full disclosure, we did not write this for you. We wrote it a while ago when we were dizzy over the last beautiful girl that was held a rest stop at 3 a.m. And I'm telling you, a girl like that had a face like roses. They'd be your downfall, Rob. Okay, let's go get high. That's right. 24 wow. Matchbox 20 songs in one note.
You'd be shocked to know that Robin is the one who had the poetry published. Rob Thomas, thank you so much for coming in, man.
Guys,
we appreciate
for having
it.
Yeah,
right on. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with the return of Men's Room Rules, and we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day. That is all on the way next. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Coming up, we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day, but first...
And now... The Men's Room presents Men's Room Rules.
The complete list of rules available at mensroomlive.com. If you check the site, you'll see all the rules that you made throughout the years. And every once in a while, we'll take a little time and try to see if we can put some new rules of your suggestion into law. And away we go on Men's Room Rules. It says, hola, guys. I was at a buddy's house for a Pro Bowl party.
We like to call it a pre-funk party for the Super Bowl. So a friend of a friend was there and said that he's getting a keg for the following Sunday, and we're more than welcome to come on over. So when he showed up, when we showed up to his place for the Super Bowl with dips and snacks in hand, we found out that the party he actually invited us to was, in fact, a co-ed baby shower for he and his wife.
Oh.
The guy did, in fact, have a keg, but no big TV, and expected us to do the baby shower thing and play baby shower games. We ended up going to another buddy's house and just swung by the store and grabbed some beer. So, my rule, if you invite friends over to your house for the Super Bowl, it should only be to watch the game.
I agree with the rule, but it's from a chick, isn't it?
Well, Shannon's a guy.
Oh, then I.
He's a friend of yours. He says LARPON.
Oh, nice.
He's one of your listeners.
Yeah, man. I mean, come on.
I just call him
a chick. You call him a chick.
I'll die well, LARPON.
What do you think, guys?
I
would pass that one. Very good. If you have a potential men's room rule, just shoot us an email to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. Make the subject men's room rules. All right, Wobbin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, you know, I had a shot of the day lined up, but I have to be honest with you, I had to switch it to Mr. Rob Thomas, who dropped by for the visit to play the 10 songs he can't get sick of, with the exception of one song that shall remain nameless. I agree with that list.
There's
only, one song on there that I thought to myself, you know what? I'm sick of hearing that damn song. May have been his number one. But otherwise, man, he's a very good guy. He's a very good sport. But I will tell you this, man, the reaction that I have been reading since the interview started, everyone is very happy about him. People that did not like Rob Thomas now like Rob Thomas. All right?
Nice.
What is there not to like about
basically, he made us look better. So, Rob, thank you, man. So we pour this booze and we drink this because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch hola. Let's get a contestant online for profile. This will take color 9 now. 844-999-OLA.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.